Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you've called us together to be a church and that you are building us up in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that right now that you would speak by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would open our hearts and our minds to what you'd say to us through your word, and that we would hear it and receive it and be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. When I first arrived in India to do mission work, I was handed a novel by an older Christian that I immediately began to read. The book called City of Joy was written by Dominique LaPierre about a slum in Calcutta that he and his wife visited many times. Could we have the first slide, please? This is actually a slum I visited in Delhi, but it's very similar to the slum in Calcutta in his book. This novel creatively interweaves the life stories of various people connected to this slum and provides a picture of the struggle and tragedy that face those who are trapped in extreme poverty throughout our world today. It also chronicles the efforts of a priest and a physician who at tremendous personal cost try to improve the living conditions for the families in this slum. On an opening page of the novel, the author quotes an Indian proverb, and it says this: all that is not given is lost. All that is not given is lost. You see, the idea is that by holding on to things and holding back from service, we think that we are saving and keeping, but we are actually losing. Because it is only when we give that what we were hanging on to will touch and bless the lives of other people. It is only when we pour out what we have that God may take it and multiply it and use it for His glory to bring His love and His truth to a broken world. Last week we saw that God places apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers in the church in order to prepare God's people for works of service. We learned that we cannot receive salvation or God's favor through our hard work, but that Christ saves us freely by faith so that we can then be used by Him for works of service. God shapes us for service. God prepares specific tasks for us in advance. And then He calls us as leaders in His kingdom to prepare other people for service. We then considered how Christ models for us the way that we are to prepare God's people for service. And it is by this first modeling faithful ministry, by teaching God's truth, and then by sending out God's people in ministry. This morning we continue building on this trajectory by learning that the works of service to which God calls us as a church actually build up. They have the role and the function of building up God's people, the church. We will see that the church is built up through works of service by resembling more and more its Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one on whom and in whom the church is built. We will also then discover a word of caution and a word of promise that Scripture offers us as we follow our Lord in service. Last week, as we allowed Ephesians chapter 2 to teach us the proper place of works of service in the Christian life, today we go to the end of that same chapter in order to understand better what it means for the body of Christ to be built up, which Paul mentions in chapter 4. When we do so, we learn two important truths. The church is built on Christ, and the church is built in Christ. Next slide, please. In 1 Corinthians 3:11 we read, "No one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." And then in Ephesians 2:20 we read that Christ is the cornerstone, the most important part of the foundation upon which the church rests. Remember that the foundation is located at the bottom of a building. It anchors the structure, and the entire building rests on, literally depends upon, the foundation. If you would remove a building's foundation, the entire structure would, of course, crash to the ground. In the same way, Christ is the foundation upon which the entire church is built and on which it depends. If you take Christ away, the church would completely crumble. I recently was speaking to one of my mentors, who has recently been studying the work of a 19th century theologian. And he decided to search this theologian's main work. It's this massive volume this theologian wrote at the end of his life, summarizing his entire view of God and humanity and everything, right? And my mentor decided to search this work for the simple phrase, "Jesus Christ is Lord." And you know what? He could not find it. He could not find the simple phrase, "Jesus Christ is Lord." If Christ is not the foundation upon which everything else depends, then we can be sure that however elegant or sturdy something may appear, it is not the church of Jesus Christ. Secondly, the church is built in Jesus Christ. Paul says in Ephesians 2:21 through 22, "In Him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit." In Jesus Christ the church is built, rises, and grows. Now this reminds us that the church and each of us as Christians live and serve only in deep intimacy with and profound dependence upon Jesus Christ. When we live and serve in this way, then Christ's character and attitude and way of living will shape our thinking and our acting. We will begin to become more and more like Christ. In order to find out what the church built up and growing in Christ will look like as it grows, as it develops, as it grows up, we can look at Jesus and see in Him what we are becoming. And when we do look at Christ, we see that He is profoundly a servant. Jesus says in Mark, next slide please. Jesus says in Mark 10:45, that He did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. Because of this, Jesus tells us that whoever wants to become great in the kingdom of God must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all. And then in Luke 22:27, Jesus tells His disciples, "I am among you as one who serves." Finally, Paul tells us in Philippians 2:5 that our attitude, our thinking, should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And then he paints a very vivid picture of what Christ is like and how we should be like as we follow Christ's example. And as we look at this picture, it is marked through and through by the humility of servanthood. This is so important. You have to get this. The one who humbles him or herself in service to God is the one who God exalts. When we serve, we are like Jesus And when we are like Jesus, we are great in the kingdom of God. Now, at this point, we're coming very close to understanding what Paul means when he writes in Ephesians 4:12 that the works of service build up the body of Christ. As we serve by lowering and humbling ourselves like Christ, the church is built up. Okay? The church lowers itself in humble service, and at that moment, the church is built up. Now, at first, this might sound to you like a contradiction. At this point, though, we must let go of worldly ways of thinking about high and low, worldly ways of looking at up and down. When the church serves humbly like Christ, the church often does not rise high in importance in society. And it usually does not grow up in prominence in the world's eyes. Yet, as we follow Christ step by step, by serving as He serves, the church begins to look more and more like Jesus. And as the church begins to resemble Christ more and more each day, it rises high in importance. And it grows up in prominence in God's eyes. From a worldly perspective, the serving church may look less and less. Perhaps bank accounts will shrink as money is given out to the needy or to furthering God's work. Perhaps attendance will shrink as the church raises up and sends out more and more workers into the harvest field. But in God's eyes, the serving church that is giving out is the one that is actually being built up in Christ. For the more it humbles itself and gives out, the more it resembles its Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In this picture of the church being built up as it humbles itself by following Christ in costly service, we find a word of caution and a word of promise. The word of caution is found in Luke 10:38-42. Next slide. There we read that Jesus and his disciples came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Now follow this. In the Greek, it actually says that Martha was distracted by all the diaconia, which is the same word that is translated into English as ministry and service. Okay, put the pieces together. Martha was distracted from Jesus because she was doing a lot of ministry. She was kept from her Lord because she was doing a lot of service. And so she scolds her sister for not prioritizing service and ministry more than sitting in the presence of Christ. Jesus then gently corrects her. Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. Let us as a church hear clearly this word of caution. In our ministry and our service, may we never prioritize the things we do for God above our intimacy with Jesus Christ, the only one upon whom and in whom the church is built. We only serve in Christ, which, as I noted earlier, is a picture of deep intimacy with and dependence upon Jesus. When we start to serve apart from Christ out of our human strength and ability, we risk allowing our service to come between us and Christ. We risk allowing our ministry to distract us away from our Lord. Yet service always begins with sitting at Christ's feet, being taught and shaped by our Lord, and then rising up with Him in service in His kingdom. Now the good news is that there's not only a word of caution, there's also a word of promise. As we walk in intimacy with Christ and allow Him to lead us to the good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do, as we obey God, we will discover that a surprising, miraculous dynamic begins to unfold. As the church more and more resembles Jesus Christ by lowering itself in service, by giving its resources and energy in ministry, God will give His children blessings that will strengthen the church and build the church. As we pour out, God pours in. Next slide, please. We see this principle again and again in Scripture. In 1 Kings 17, God sends a terrible famine upon the people of Israel because of their sin. God then commands the prophet Elijah to go outside the territory of Israel to a territory called Zarephath in the region of Sidon, where God has prepared a widow who will supply the needs of the prophet. So when Elijah arrives, he sees a widow near the town gates, and she's picking up sticks. He then calls out to her, and he asks her for a drink and a piece of bread. But she answers him this: "As surely as the Lord your God lives, I don't have any bread. Only a handful of flour and a small little jug of oil. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son so that we may eat it and die." It was the last food that they had. The prophet then gives the widow a very difficult command. He says, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says: the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day that the Lord brings rain upon the land." Through the prophet, God is asking the widow to first give away what she has and then receive God's provision. She obeys by first making a little cake of bread for Elijah from her few precious crumbs of flour and her last drops of oil. And then God pours in His blessing in such a way, miraculously, that the flour jar and the oil jug never run dry. And day after day, throughout the famine, she and her family and Elijah have all the food that they need. As we pour out in obedience to what God asks us to do, God pours in. We see this principle at work again in the book of Malachi. In this passage, God is commanding the Israelites to offer to Him the whole tithe, which is 10% of what they earn. I believe that giving God 10% of the money we earn is very important, and I encourage you to do this. And at the same time, I also believe that God's promise in this passage also applies to our offering, our sacrifice of our time and energy in service to God. And this is what God says in Malachi 3:10. "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it all. As we walk in intimacy with Jesus Christ, and He leads us to sacrificial works of service in which we obediently obey God by giving beyond what we think we are able to give, we will find that God meets us with His blessing and provision beyond anything our small minds could have imagined. As we pour out, God pours in. Finally, we must not forget the little boy who had only 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. And he went to hear Jesus speak. And when he heard that Jesus was looking for food to pass out to the hungry crowd, the little boy offered all the food that he had to Jesus. And he probably only expected that Jesus could use that to feed maybe 1 or 2 hungry people. And that meant the little boy would go hungry, but all he had would be given to Christ for God to use. But instead, as that little boy offered all of his food to God, God poured out His blessing in such a powerful way that the food was multiplied miraculously. And 5,000 men, not to mention women and children, a huge crowd, something maybe 12,000 people, ate all that they needed to eat. And there were 12 basketfuls of food left over. Do you think that that little boy ever regretted giving his lunch to Jesus? Do you think he ever regretted offering all of his food to God? Have you ever met a servant of God who regretted offering all that they are to God and giving what little they had in sacrificial service to Jesus Christ? I think not. I think not, because as we pour out, God pours in. Next slide. Today we have seen that the church is built up through works of service by resembling more and more the character of Jesus Christ, the only one on whom and in whom the church is built. As the church becomes like Christ, it may not grow in prominence in the world's eyes, but it will in God's, as it rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. In Scripture, we find a word of caution that we are never to allow ministry, our service to God, to prevent us from living each day in intimacy with Jesus Christ. We also, though, find a word of promise that as we pour out, God pours in. Next slide. In closing today, I would like to remind us of the famous words written in a journal on October 28, 1949, by Jim Elliot, a missionary to Ecuador who was killed in 1956 at the age of 28 by the tribe he was ministering to. Elliot wrote in his journal less than a decade before he was killed, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Let me say that again. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Humble works of service may cost us a great deal, but when we walk in obedience and intimacy with our Lord Jesus Christ, God raises up the church as it lowers itself. God raises it up, and God pours in His blessings as we pour out to the world. In this way, we together as a church will experience the joy of being the body of Christ that God is building up. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we thank You so much that You are the foundation upon which we are built, and You are the only one in whom we grow up and rise up as Your church to serve you and to bring your life and your light to a broken and hurting world. Oh Lord, speak to us. Lord, show us what the next step for each of us is in obediently following you, in obediently pouring out so you can pour in allowing you to shape us into the servant heart of Jesus Christ so that we can bring your gospel, your good news to those around us who live in darkness. Lord, once again, we offer you our lives. We lay our lives at your feet, O King, and we ask you to take us and use us for your glory. In your mighty name we pray, Jesus. Amen.